Senator from the 24th, what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
It has been distributed. I ask that it's waived.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain Senate Amendment number 3?
Yes, I very much would. President, this amendment is a $400 per child tax credit. This was a bill that this amendment was filed specifically as a bill. It has bipartisan support. I was honored to have the senator from the 11th and the 14th, as well as senator from Cape and Barton. And if I'm missing any other co-sponsors, I apologize, support this bill. And what this bill does, Mr. President, is it goes to, I think, that universe of people that really need our support, and that's middle-class families. And so what this bill will allow for, it's for families, for single parent families that make up to $46,100, and for married families that file jointly that make up to $92,200, it would allow a $400 per child tax credit that you would file for when you do your return. It's non-transferable, and it's you have to pay in before you actually get the credit. So if your state Missouri state liability is only $300 and you've got one child, you're only going to get $300. What I considered in this idea was the plight of our middle class. And so when you talk about people making between $10,000 and $92,000, there are 2.8 million tax filers in Missouri. This takes in 1.4 million of them. And by any definition, this is the middle class. In Missouri, the median family income, unfortunately, fell to $46,000 and has been stuck there for 5 years while the cost of everything has gone up. Everything. School, food, and even the cost of government, as local governments have consistently looked to raise either local sales taxes or local property taxes. So what this is an attempt to do is to bring tax relief to those families. The fiscal note on this bill is $250 million. For the average family, that median family, this would represent, the average family has 2.2 children. It would represent almost a 30% cut in their Missouri state tax liability. It would be a dramatic impact on those families. And they would receive that in the form of a refund after they file their legislation. So I think it makes tremendous sense. I think that's the part of the economy that's hurting the most. And with that, Mr. President, I'll take anyone's questions.
The senator from the 24th renews his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 31st, from Barton, for what purpose do you rise?
President, could I inquire the senator from the 24th?
Senator, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Thanks, Senator. And this did receive a lot of support when we heard it in committee. And I think, have you noticed that we have, even in some of the amendments that have been dropped on our desks, that we're continuing to raise taxes or authorize the local sales tax increases? And so we're, you know, what I think what you're saying about the middle class, you know, is exactly right, that the middle class and the middle income and lower income are both suffering greatly in the economy that we're in, and we're continuing to see that accelerated rather than reduced. I hadn't really thought as much about the cost of government until you mentioned it, and then I...
It's one of the measurements that the inflation indices don't pick up very well.
That's right. We just kind of ignore that as a necessary cost, and we forget that it really is real, that it really takes money out of people's family budgets, and it does make it more difficult for them. So what kind of response do you think this will have in the general economic climate here in our state compared to some of the other things we've considered?
I don't, I'm not a big Keynesian fan, you know, so the whole thesis that if you give people money, give people back money, they'll spend the money, and then the money that will generate economic activity, and there's a multiplier effect. And this idea is, it's just the reality of what it means to be that median family. And I don't know if you saw over the weekend, the Tax Foundation just updated their 2014 data. And it was interesting to note that Missouri now, their combined state sales tax and local sales tax, is now 14th highest in the country.
14th, just in the sales tax arena.
Just in total sales tax. So, okay. So you know, and it's
dollar
7
for
point,
dollar.
I think the average across the state is like 7.45% or something.
14th out of the 50.
With a 14th highest. So we have our local sale, state sales tax plus local sales tax puts us at the 14th highest as of right now. That's where we are. And I don't know if you experienced this in your community, but the vast majority of my school districts they've responded to either a leveling of their revenues, because their revenues are all based upon real estate valuations, which are not rising, in some cases declining.
Right.
The vast majority of my districts are hold harmless, which you've heard oftentimes the senator from the 15th and I talk about. They have not been held harmless. So whatever relatively
point,
small
right.
Support they receive from the state's been cut. So what they've done is that the communities themselves have voted to further fund their schools. So there's a district that is my favorite school district in the St. Louis area, not to speak less of all the other school districts, but is the Pattonville School District. And it's a really interesting one, because it goes from kind of very much like in deep North County and kind of goes along the top of St. Louis County, and it ends up over in the west, the eastern part of Chesterfield. It's very much a working class school. It's an excellent school. It ranks in the top 5% year in, year out of all metrics. The average home price in the Pattonville School District fell from $137,000 to $132,000. And they put forward, in that, so that middle class community stepped up, and they raised their rate of taxation.
No.
So the idea is really who represents the vast majority of people, the people that we represent in the largest percentage of, it's the working class, it's the middle class. And I would suggest that if there's anyone that's in dire need of tax relief, it's that working class families. And think about that phrase, Senator. How many times people say, I'm for working class families, both parties?
Sure.
That's got to be near the top of the list, you know? So this is an opportunity to relieve the tax burden of those working class families at a time when they are in dire need of that relief.
Oh. And, it is interesting, just in the analogy that you use of the value of the property, that, you know, we've begun to see the funding of government as, I guess, as an independent funding mechanism. It's no longer a percent of prosperity. You know, it's no longer that a certain part of a man's income or a family's income or a woman's income should be allocated to pay for government, but it's a certain cost of government, whatever percentage of your income it takes. So that as their net value, as your constituent's net worth is going down, their tax burden is going up.
That's right.
And that to me is just, you know, it's hard for me to explain that to someone and say, well, this makes sense. This is good business, good government. That you reduce a person's net worth, but you raise their taxes, because government's got to be sustained, even if you or not. And I think I'm not a big fan of tax credits,
right?
Because I think they all have their constituencies, and I would like to get rid of the income tax altogether and go to a consumption tax. And there's lots of advantages that I see in that. But I do think as long as we have the system that we have, that benefiting this group is something we've neglected and ignored. And so I congratulate you on the amendment.
I appreciate your co-sponsoring, Senator. It's, inside this bill, we've got land assemblage tax credit, and to the best of my knowledge, only three companies have ever used a land assemblage tax credit. We have low-income housing tax credits, which no doubt the end product benefits lots of people, but the users are in the dozens, not in the tens of thousands. We've got a data center tax credit that no one's ever used, but we're building data centers. It's going to benefit a handful of people. I'll remind you that this is 1.4 million people by income qualify. We think somewhere in the neighborhood of six, the fiscal note was assuming about 700,000 kids would be in families that qualify. So about 500,000 families. There was been suggestions about, well, what if I don't have children? Why is this a good thing for me? Right. Okay. And then I would remind that person that currently over half of our federal budget are entitlement programs that have not been escrowed and set aside, but they are simply pay-as-you-go. And I don't know if you know this or not, Senator, 2 years ago, the Social Security Trust Fund started to go cash negative. Mm-hmm. So the system, my grandfather used to laugh about the whole system. If he were still alive, he'd be 110 or so. And he used to laugh about how when he first started, it was 23 people paying in for one recipient. Right. And then when he got to it, it was still like 16 paying in for one recipient. And within a handful of years, it's going to be 2-to-1 and then below 2-to-1. So for all those that would find themselves in the middle class and without children or they're empty nesters or whatever, there's a very strong case to be made that the best thing that can happen for them, for their financial security, is a growing population. And then we've heard a lot of discussion around immigration and the importance that it plays in growing the population. We've heard a lot of discussion on this floor about how many congressional seats we've lost and how it's important to grow your population. St. Louis City's decline in population, St. Louis County's decline in population. I mean, not to be this kind of cold-hearted economic point of view of things, and clearly, financially, a growing population is a really good thing, but I also think it makes for a better civil society as well. I think that what families represent and what they bring to a community is strength and vibrancy that, I mean, that's, if there's anything, what's more American than a family, you know?
Right, exactly.
So this is all to incent the creation of middle-class families, and that's the idea behind the bill.
And that, frankly, Senator, that was the most dominant reason that I co-sponsored the bill that you filed, that is reflected in this, is because regardless of the tax credit element of it, it's focused in the direction that we say will help society overall. We continue to acknowledge that the breakdown in the family, the fact that we have families who can't support themselves, is at the root of so many of the issues that we deal with here in the Senate and in state governments all across the country, and that if we could get that family unit restored and keep fathers in the homes and do the other things that make for strong families, that it'll affect education, you know, it'll affect employment, it'll affect taxes, it'll affect all of those things. And that, to me, is one of the elements that your bill, your amendment would support, is that it is focused on saying families are important. If we're going to do something with our tax code, let's at least do it in a way that reinforces what we believe is important, what we know is important in the community, and that's strengthening those families, helping them to have what they need to stay together, to support their children, to educate their children, to pay the bills for their kids if they need extra things for schools and so on. So I think that the focus is correct. I think the economic model of our tax system is incorrect, but I think given the environment that we're in, that this is a good amendment. And I appreciate
you, Senator. I'm going to inquire of a couple of the sponsors. I would appreciate if you're around. I'm going to ask that this be a roll call amendment as well. So.
Sure, that'd be great. Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th.
May I please inquire of the Senator from the 11th.
Senator from the 11th. Senator from the 11th. Do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you very much for yielding. I know that we've had your idea that's similar philosophically to this one on the floor.
Yes.
This is the first time we've gotten to this one philosophically, but I do want to just, I was going to inquire of you, and first of all, I appreciate your willingness to co-sponsor this bill. I think of all the tax cuts that we put forward this year, this is the only one that garnered bipartisan sponsorship, so I'm very proud of that fact. I appreciate bipartisanship more today than I did before I got into government, so I do appreciate that. But I also I would like to call attention to the fact that in this border war that we're in with Kansas, that if this amendment were to become law, it would uniquely position us along the Kansas-Missouri border. I mean, are you aware of the fact that Only 6 states have this type of credit. Some of them are in the spirit of what you've described in your amendment, but Kansas has nothing like this.
Well, it is of my belief, and maybe I'm paraphrasing a little bit what you guys said before, was that what really builds communities is families.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who, like I live in Independence and work in Kansas, and I did that with this company and a previous company. People moved to Kansas because it was good quality of life for their kids. Good schools, good roads, good quality of life for their, to build their family. Senate Bill 509 gives 80% of the cuts to the top 20%, $600 million out of our revenue up to $8.5 billion if the governor's right, and doesn't create new jobs. What you're suggesting is that we incent families and help them build their family, support their family, and build that community.
Right.
And that's the way tax policy should work. I heard you earlier that you're not a fan of the idea that you give the tax cuts and then it goes out and multiplies.
Yeah, that's not. I'm not motivated by that economic.
Regardless of you being wrong on that, Senator, I agree with it because I think that's what this does. And I think it incents the right thing.
Yeah.
Because if you support families, then you support everything else that goes around it. Jobs will come and everything else. So
it's
the foundation of how we should build our state.
I really think, and you know, having gotten to very much experience the Kansas City area and the dynamic that is State Line Road, and seeing the growth and prosperity of Johnson County, in particular when compared to what's going on in Jackson County, which you would openly admit is not the same level of activity and vigor, think about what this would do. So if I'm a single mom and I live in Jackson County, right, and a lot of people like yourself that live in Jackson County work in Johnson County, Kansas,
uh-huh,
and so she's thinking, you know, I really maybe should consider moving closer to my place of work, or maybe the school situation is different, and you know, I've got 2 children. I'm making $42,000 a year, and you know, that's pretty tough. That's a tight budget, and suddenly this becomes law, and now that mom's going to get an $800 refund,
right?
Which that's a lot.
That's right.
For a single mom. Same thing. You could have a young couple the same dynamic where they're born and raised in Jackson County and they want to stay in Jackson County, mm-hmm, but one of the two of them works in Johnson County and right now, you know, you may like it or not like it, but Johnson County has slightly lower marginal tax rates for that couple, and they would look at that and say, well, we live here, so we have to kind of adjust our taxes anyhow. But suddenly this passes into law.
Yes.
And suddenly they're going to get back $800. Maybe their combined income is $60,000.
That's right.
And the other thing, too, about this, the way this is crafted, there's no marriage penalty, Senator. So, and if anything, I've racked my brain my time down here. Like I have this thesis that, you know, the family is the perfect economic unit. And
I agree.
You know, we celebrated this past, well, some celebrate earlier this year, the 50th anniversary of the War on Poverty. And next spring, we're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of a seminal piece of work, a research report that then Assistant Secretary of Labor, who later would be Senator Patrick Moynihan, somebody who I'm sure you greatly admire.
Absolutely.
Somebody who I actually have taken the time to read his letters and his works. I think he was a most thoughtful legislator. So in 1965, he released a report that he was alarmed, and he was so afraid of what the report suggested, Senator. And I don't know, are you familiar with the Moynihan Report from 1965?
No.
So in 1965, the percentage of African-American children born out of wedlock was 23.8%. The percentage of white children born out of wedlock was 3.8%. And this was right in the middle of the whole war on poverty and what can government do, and government's got to solve for this. And Moynihan, he was besides himself. He thought it was lost. That how can any of this stuff work if the family's breaking down? It's broken down, right? So, you know, next year, the 50th anniversary, that report will come out, And if nothing changes between now and then, we're gonna read the articles and it's gonna say 72% of African American children are born out of wedlock. 40% of all children now are born out of wedlock. And I would suggest that we've broken that, and I think that government policies have a lot to do with this. Now we can debate that later on, but I mean we both know that the way some of the income-based subsidy programs are structured, if you make $10 more, you lose a $1,000 subsidy, and there's all kinds of reasons. But what I was really happy to incorporate into this bill is that not only is there not a marriage penalty, there's a financial incentive to become married. So if you're single, if you're a single mom and you have two children and you're making $50,000, then you don't qualify for the tax credit. But if you marry and your combined income with your spouse is less than $92,000, then you do. So we actually are creating a mechanism whereby there's a financial incentive to become married, which I think is a really important thing to pursue. And then, again, like I said before, I think that what we would see, because you and I both probably agree on this, that businesses are moving back and forth across State Line Road because businesses have access to very large tax incentives.
Right.
But the people that work in those businesses, they don't.
That's right. That's the key point right there when it comes to this border war, that the people don't move.
This actually would create an economic incentive
for people,
for the single mom in Johnson County who is trying to make ends meet and having a really hard time making ends meet. Maybe she's a renter in Johnson County even. And she says, you know what, my lease just ran up, and I'm going to move to Jackson County now. Because in Jackson County, I could use that $400 per child.
I think
if you can figure out a way, as Senator from Jackson County, to grow the population in Jackson County, if I can figure out a way to grow the population in St. Louis County, I think those are positive things.
Well, Senator, I think as we get closer to the end of session, the times that we agree, we need to be very clear that we agree. And we agree that the fact that a strong family builds a community and builds a state, this idea helps with that.
Right.
It doesn't tear that apart. Now, as we build towards that goal, there's a lot of other ideas I would have that we would disagree upon. I guess. We haven't talked about a lot of them.
Sure.
But let's agree on this. Let's approve this and say this is something that we all agree upon, and it's good for the families in Missouri.
Great. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you. Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th.
I'd like to inquire the Senator from Cape.
Senator from Cape Girardeau. Do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, thank you for taking my inquiry, and I just want to thank you on the floor for being willing to sponsor, be one of the co-sponsors. And I know we were all kind of enthusiastic when this bill was heard, and then not so long ago we had a chance to finally vote it out. But unfortunately, I think this might be the only mechanism we have to have it turn into law. So, again, I just want to thank you publicly for supporting it.
Well, you're welcome. This is one of the best things I've come through here, because it definitely is credited towards the people who need it and work hard to deserve it, and I appreciate you having the foresight to sponsor a bill like that.
And I would suggest that if for some reason this ends up not becoming law, that I would really encourage both you and some of the other freshman senators who are co-sponsors, or even I'm going to inquire the senator from the 14th next. She too is co-sponsoring this bill. That I think this is a really significant idea, and I think this is an idea that should be pursued until it becomes law. And I think it would be unique. It would be so unique to Missouri, but it's so consistent with what Missouri thinks it is. You know, St. Louis is a really funny place because we get people who grow up there, but then can't wait to leave, i.e., me, and we get people who get pulled into St. Louis because of corporate relocations. And there's a lot of concerns about, is it too parochial, is it not? Well, the one thing that everybody says over and over again, it's a great place to raise a family. And I'm sure that they say a similar thing down in Cape, don't they?
Right.
And I'm sure that they say the same thing in Jackson County, in Independence. But I would suggest that Missouri families, if we look at how they're doing, and this is the middle class, and we are honest with ourselves as to what's going on in their lives, I think it's never been harder to raise a family in Missouri. And if we're going to, again, if we're going to bring relief, tax relief to any segment of the population, if we're going to create an incentive for any type of activity, be it economic, which I think the family is, but also just quality of life, I mean, thriving communities with young families, I think it's what Missouri is all about. So I really do appreciate your support.
Well, and the timing couldn't be better, because although employment's improved somewhat, it still hasn't improved totally, and a lot of people are in jobs that aren't earning what they used to use, and pay hasn't been keeping up with the cost of living for fuel and food and college. So this goes to the core of helping those truly that will benefit from it.
Thank you very much. President, I'd like to inquire the senator from the 14th.
From the 14th?
Yes.
From the 14th, do you yield?
Yes, Mr. President.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding. I'm sorry that your health, you know, made your weekend kind of tough. It was a beautiful...
I worked. That's what we do.
Right. Did you enjoy your Easter weekend?
Absolutely.
What are your traditions? What does your family do on Easter weekend?
Well, this year was different because a couple of years ago I rededicated myself to being a better person. And so this year it was really, really special. And I actually spent Easter with my neighbor, Mrs. Johnson. And we went to Christ the King, which is two blocks away from my house. So it was a special Easter for me.
Yeah, that Easter's...
I was coughing.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you were saying, it's funny because it's the biggest holiday in my family. My family really, the children, actually, I didn't get to Kansas City until Thursday. They had been to Stations Across. We went to Good Friday Mass. It's actually my favorite Mass of the whole year. And it was it's just a beautiful weekend. But the reason I inquired of you, Senator, is again to thank you for being willing to co-sponsor a tax cut. And I think what drew you to the idea, same thing what drew the senator from the 11th, the idea, was that of all the things we've talked about in terms of bringing tax relief and then incenting something, I think this is something that is a bipartisan belief that whatever we can do to strengthen Missouri families, we should do.
And let me just tell you, I have been a huge proponent for helping those who are just average working Americans and those who live in poverty. You know that. The senator from the 8th, I added in language in a couple of his bills. Last year, the 253. I guess this year, the 509. I'm not too sure. There's so many different numbers.
There are exemptions in there, right?
But in any case... where you were trying to go is exactly what I think my constituents wanted to go. And a lot of the advocacy groups, and I didn't believe you at first, but all of the advocacy groups, most of them, that usually align with my philosophy were supportive of that. So that's one of the reasons why I support your bill. I thought it was a good faith effort, and you've shown that you wanted to try to get it to the middle. And I think with this amendment, with the bill that you had, it's getting to the middle. And, you know, again, that population of people in my district especially, I want to address the best way we can. If we are, it's my belief, if we are giving special incentives to corporations, we should also be concerned about those who live in poverty. And for the last 2 years, that has been what my focus is to pay attention to those people who are working 35 hours because there's, you know, their games play. There's not really full-time anymore. But whatever the case, I want to give those average people some kind of an incentive to know that we are still thinking about them. And we know that the majority of the population are people who live in the same situation that they do.
Well, I appreciate your friendship and on all things, and then your co-sponsorship on this. And I would suggest to you the same thing I suggested to other sponsors, that if for whatever reason this doesn't come to be, that I would encourage
and
you.
And I'm going to support your amendment, and I think everyone should support your amendment. If we're dealing with, you know, all these other tax credits, then there's room enough for those people who have not had a voice for a long time to fit into this bill. And so I'm staying, even though I feel the way that I do on other sections of the bill, I mean, it's high time that we pay attention and deal with the folks who are really struggling every single day, and that that's our working families.
Thank you very much, Senator, for taking my inquiry.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 24th.
Before I close, If I can get five other senators standing, I'd like to have this be a roll call.
We have five senators. Sergeant Varum, will you summon senators to the chamber?
Renew my motion to close.
Any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate Amendment Number 3 to Senate Substitute for House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1501? Senator from the 29th.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the Senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th, do you yield?
Senator, if I left you out as a co-sponsor?
That's fine. That's fine.
Not sure if I did or didn't.
I'm not sure either. I read today where the United States middle class, which has been the richest middle class in the world since probably World War II at least, has now slipped to second.
Yeah, I read the same article, Senator.
And I think Canada has the richest. But we are going in the wrong direction. And I think we're going to continue, unfortunately, to go in the wrong direction because of different policies that we don't need to discuss here, but we are. So I do support your bill because these are the people that really need the help.
This is half of all of our tax filers,
right?
For income fit this description. This is 500,000 or 600,000 families that are going to benefit by this. They're the one. They pay the taxes. They're what makes civil society. You know, we've got government and we've got corporate America, and down here we see a lot of government and a lot of corporate America. But the civil society, everything that's not government and corporate America, the civil society, family, and the organizations and associations that we as individual people come together around, faith, religion.
Yes.
Civil society. I mean, think about when the country started, there was very little government. There was relatively small corporate sector. It was all civil society. And now the civil society has been pushed aside by corporate interest and the overall size of government.
And the size of government, yes.
I think that both parties are substantially guilty of having ignored the middle class. And I don't understand why that's not our entire focus. So this is an attempt to bring to bear a focus on that part, that segment of the population, and to strengthen what it is that those working families are trying to accomplish.
We passed a tax cut in this body, and it passed in the House, and now it's going to the governor, which had a little bit of an effect on the middle class, but really not a whole lot. I was more interested in the pass-through income part for developing new jobs and expanding. And I will stick up with the free market principles of that bill. I do have one question on, for a single taxpayer, you have $46,100 or less.
Yes.
And I'm always a little concerned about the cliff effect of legislation like this. So the person that's making $46,125 would not qualify for the $400 tax.
Correct.
Did you consider anything about a graduated...
No, Senator, actually, I did not.
Okay.
And if you heard a little bit before, first of all, it's one of the things that I think is important when you're trying to set tax policy is to make it as simple as possible. So in this example, it's an attempt to make it as simple as possible. The thing that this bill also accomplishes is it actually creates an incentive for a single income earner to pursue marriage. Financially.
Mm-hmm. It's not a penalty.
It's a financial incentive, actually. Yes, mm-hmm. So if you're a single mom or you're a single guy and you're at $46,100 and you're now passing the threshold. But the other thing, too, about this threshold, if you think about it, it's yes, there's a gap between $46,100 and, you know, at a 6% marginal tax rate, which it is today, you know, you're going to have to get into the low 50s before you're now indifferent. But you know, that's the downside of the way it's organized today. But it does create an incentive for someone to go out and get married. And as long as their combined income is less than $92,000. And I can't think of any other way to incent marriage.
Well, I think this is a good proposal, and I'm going to vote for it, of course. But I will work on this the graduation of this in the future, because I think I don't want to have a disincentive to not make more money.
I understand. Thank you, Senator. Well,
Senate Amendment number 3. Any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close. Senator from the 24th renews his motion that Senate Amendment number 3 be adopted.